Thank you, team. You guys are wonderful. May the Lord bless you as you continue. Special welcome also to Pastor Barry and Bev. Welcome back. I hadn't seen you for quite some time, so it's kind of, hey, where are they? And also for, where is the Mike? No, what's the name of the guy? The guy was on the drums there. Matthew. Yeah. Lord bless Matthew too. He's back from somewhere east. Praise the Lord. So we have been talking about the perilous times of the church. And perilous times indeed. Now, what are we up against? Think about it. We have been up against many things. The text that we have been bringing forward, 1 Timothy chapter 3, but mark this, that there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, and the list goes on and on and on. That's how the world will be. That's how the world is actually today. And you just look outside, you just look on TV, you just look everywhere around you, you will see that the world is crumbling. It is just crumbling down and it is not doing well. Not doing well emotionally. The people have lost their minds. People are not doing financially well. People are not doing physically well. The society is not doing well. I mean, nothing is doing really well. Think about it. The only thing, and I even heard it this morning from Pastor Ravi Zacharias on the radio coming here. The only true satisfaction, full satisfaction that the human being can have is worshiping God. Everything else around him at one point or other will fail. But if he worships God, that transcends everything. It goes beyond. Once you understand the possibility of you actually reaching the creator of the universe through your worship, through your words, through your heart, guess what? Your life never will be the same ever. All of a sudden, all the other things just no matter. And I have seen many people, actually they were on their deathbed. And when they have this vision, this glamorous, beautiful, majestic vision of a little glimpse of heaven, all of a sudden, all the other things, who cares? Who cares? Oh, I lost $10 million. Who cares? It's nothing. But we got to focus on him. And then all of a sudden, the perilous times, all of a sudden, they are, well, yeah, things are bad. But hey, I am with my daddy, with my Lord. And I am okay. I am fine. I have my name written in the book. Now this morning you want to touch a little bit, and I don't think we're going to go through all this, but among the many things we have been talking about, we are up against clear thinking, because we have our minds have become a little bit faded, or a little bit. One could say not clear, unclear. We are up against busyness and distractions and all kinds of sports and work and household duties and computers and entertainment of all kinds. And that has really taken a big toll on our focus on God. We have been up against fear because of we have lost our focus on God. And because we have lost our focus on God, all of a sudden, things, when you look around, hey, they might be crumbling, so I'm a little scared. Because you don't look to God, you look to the things around you, and that's why you are fearful now all of a sudden. And you shouldn't be. But we have been up against fear. Number 4, we have been up against tradition. spiritual or religious tradition. Eventually, we have allowed the spirit of tradition or a spirit of religion to creep into churches. And now we come to church because this is what we do on Sunday mornings. Not that I really feel like. It's just because, well, if I don't come, maybe I got a phone call from the pastor, or because, you know, I liked a little bit, I liked the atmosphere of a church and certain things that you like about the church, that's why you're here. Well, eventually, even that will fail if our focus is not on God. Now, you might even think, well, yeah, but I am actually here not because I like the pastor or because I like the music or I like the benches or I like the church or the building. I'm actually here because I missed God. I missed him. I had a good conversation with him at home, but I liked the idea of together in a corporate place worshiping God. I just liked that. And then you are on the right path. Then you're good. Then that's the real reason why you're here. But anyway, we are against a spirit of religion, a spirit of tradition. Certain things we think we don't want to let go. I always play with the Christmas tree on Sunday on at Christmas. Oh, we have to have a Christmas tree. We have to have the decorations. We have to have the gifts. And we have to have all the food. And we have to have that. Because if you don't, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Well, we say, no, it's not that. You just like it. But the real deal is Jesus who was born. And that's what we celebrate. Well, if that's the real reason, try take it away. Try take away the Christmas tree. Try take away the gifts. Try take away all the busyness of the shopping and all that. Or the lights. Take away the lights. You might think, it doesn't really feel like Christmas. This year it wasn't Christmas. Well, why not? Well, there's nothing going on. We didn't have a tree. We didn't have the lights. Can you see? Can you see eventually that is a tradition? Certain things that we do and we are bound to those things. We even have lost the first things or the most important thing, what actually was. You know, it's like a birthday party. Yesterday we had a wonderful birthday celebration out there with Josh and his wife, Diane. Wonderful. The man was turning 94 yesterday. We will try not to forget the birthday man. He was sitting there in his wheelchair. And we were celebrating with him, and we were, talking to him, and all of a sudden, we were maybe talking a little bit separate here and there, and groups here and there, but it would be a shame if he would have forgotten the birthday man, right? Anyway, we got to be very careful not to fall into the tradition or into a spirit of religion. We are here just because. No, we're here because I want to see God, and I'm hungry for God. Now, we did talk about, we're also against, a couple Sundays ago, we were up against lukewarmness. It's a big, big problem. As church or as Christian people, once in a while, we just can't handle it anymore. We become, we have received maybe not the right answers from God. We have eventually not received the right answers from people, and the Christians have disappointed us. And because of it, we kind of, I'm not sure about this whole religious thing, about Jesus thing, and I'm not sure about it. I don't know. And you start not praying. You start all of a sudden stopping reading the scripture. You don't have the hunger for the scripture anymore. And you become lukewarm. We are up against that. It's in our face every day. The Lord talked about it in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, he writes, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation." And he says, verse 15, "I know your deeds." This is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 15. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's what the Lord says. Now that's terrible. And I mentioned here a couple of Sundays ago, this is the time where God gets sick. He's about to throw up. So he doesn't want to have half and half people. He says, well, you know what? I am not obligating you to come with me. If you want to stay in the world and do the things of the world, go be my guest. But if you like me, stick with me, because we're going to win in the end. I'll tell you that already in advance. In fact, the Bible does talk, you know, the Lord knows the beginning, or he knows the end from the beginning. And one day, it will come true. It is true already. In God's mind, it's all done already. It actually all happened. He has seen it. He is allowing you and me to make that decision today. So we are up against lukewarmness. In fact, it says, verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. True riches. And white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. One of the things the Lord wants us to do, he wants us to see. He wants us to see clearly. And maybe the things of the world have given us a little bit of a bad sight, bad vision. Now I want to talk a little bit today. Not much, just a little bit. We are also up against false teachers. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away. You have no idea how easy it is for us to be carried away. And you know what? It does not even have to be in one shot. Usually it happens very subtle. One little, it's just like the Hurricane Dorian over the Bahamas. It was moving about a kilometer an hour. So that wind was sticking there and turning around and was not moving for I don't know how many days, one or two days. Just there. And that's exactly what can happen when we all of a sudden, or through the pastor, or through our teachers, or through our Bible studies, or through even the pressure of society, slowly we are drifting away because of a little extra thing that is being put in. Now let me just compare a little bit. What is a true teacher and a false teacher? What is a true Christian and a false Christian? Now in 2 Peter verse chapter 1, we read about the genuine believers. And in 2 Peter 2, we read about the counterfeit believers. Second Peter 2 verses 1. But false prophets, it says. See, he's talking to the people that are strong, that are Christian. Second Peter chapter 2, verses 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. What is it saying? It's saying that's basically guaranteed that there will be false influences in the church. Have mercy, Lord, if that should come from me. If you see me preaching something that's not in the word, you have to come and tell me right away. And if I don't change, you kick me out of this church. Just do it. Just, you know, make a committee. Hey, pastor is gone. He needs to go. Because he is teaching some nonsense. You know that some churches that are pretty they are pretty tolerant. They even accept, you know, eventually atheist teachers or pastors. But the text is saying, but false prophets also rose among the people at that time, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words, and their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep, meaning that they will pay the price. So, when it comes to false teachers, number one, it's a different source. Where does the message come from? Well, Peter says, we do not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, the false teachers exploit you with stories that they have made up. And there is pressure in the world today of stories, of made-up stories. And they come from schools, they come from everywhere, or even liberal, whatever, churches. It's not too bad, it's okay. Even talking about the coming of Jesus, well, yeah, but you know what? I don't think it's right away, so don't worry about it. That is a false teaching. And somebody say, don't worry about it. You should be worrying about it. So it's a different source. So the true teacher, he takes what it says in the Bible and shares it. The false teacher, he relies on his own creativity and he makes up his own message. It's also a different message. What's the substance of the message? The true teacher, Jesus Christ, is central. We have everything we need for life and godliness in him. But the false teacher, Jesus, is at the margins. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them. Now this is, you know, for those who like, not anthropology, what's the word here? No, it's not eschatology either. There's not a word. To talk about, give me a word. No, it's not coming. Well, it's not anthropology, it's not eschatology, it's... No, it's not theology either. Oh, you know, I'm not sure it's not coming. I don't think it's going to come. But that's okay. What is Ravi Zacharias? What does he do? Apologetics. That's the word there. Oh, my goodness. You know? So there are some stories, for example, that says that Jesus Christ, he was created. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's how far they will go. But what if I told you, and the Bible is very clear, Jesus is actually God. See, there are some certain things you can bring in into a conversation. No, Jesus wasn't there from the beginning. Jesus at one point was created by God to come down here. Wrong. So if you put Jesus Christ a little lesser than God, you already are in a problem. You're already in a mistake. You already bought some false teaching. And there's so many different things. Even the ark or the flood. No. The flood didn't exactly happen the way it did. Maybe it happened in some places, areas where people died. But not the whole thing. But what do you do when the Bible says that the flood was so... The water was so over every entire world. In fact, the highest mountain, there were so many feet of water still. That's what the Bible says. So what we adopt and we accept the whole gay marriage, for example, is another example. Well, we just got to love. Of course we got to love. But we are not, it's not up to us to reinvent or even to redefine marriage. God has done that before. When we now say it's okay, two young men or two young women get married, then are we saying, well, God, we are slapping God in the face. We say, you know, this is not. So we all, you know, in everything we do, in everything we say, you got to make sure the Bible says it this way. If we decide, nah, not exactly, we incur an error. So the false teacher, he will speak about how other people can help change your life. But if you listen carefully to what he is saying, you will see that Jesus Christ is not essential to his message. Somehow you can leave Jesus Christ on the margins. And that is a big problem. There's also a different position. In what position will the message leave you? You see, the true Christian escapes the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's what the true Christian is working at. But a counterfeit Christian is described differently. Listen to how Peter describes the counterfeit Christian. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. See, that's why it is so extremely important, the source. Who is speaking? Who is preaching? Who is the one that actually shares the gospel? If that person who is sharing the gospel somehow has been influenced, he has some sickness or some cancer in himself, and somehow is passing that on to the people. And it comes to you a little twisted. It comes to you a little not right. And that's why when we see people's worshiping here, I always say, you know, we are stepping on the altar. If there's secret sin, even, and people are not willing to repent, and if they're standing up here and they share the gospel with you, it somehow it comes a little twisted to you. I mean, not that people that are up here need all to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about people that are up here or that are in any place of leadership anywhere in the church are not willing to repent. Because if they see the sin in their lives, they cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, I am really, really sorry. I shouldn't be up here because I don't deserve to be up here. Now, those are people that are humble and they recognize, yes, I am a sinner, but I am repenting and I am really sorry. Those are the people you can up here. You can have people that have sinned up here. That's why you have me here. Because I know I have sinned. But I also know I am repenting. Whatever, you know, Lord, please forgive. If I don't repent, you will start noticing because I won't not go touch certain aspects, certain things from the Bible because I myself am not into that. I don't really believe in that too either because I am kind of, I have a stronghold in my life. And I cannot share it because I'm really not ready. Because I'm not willing or to repent or to say sorry or to humble myself before the Lord. So the true Christian, he escapes the corruption of the world, but the counterfeit Christian, he describes it as someone who it's okay. Let's just talk about other aspects and we'll be all good. Now, there is also a different outcome from the preaching. The true believer, he will hear the message and will pursue goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, and so on. Because he is sensing it is actually true. This is what I need to do. But the counterfeit Christian, he is marked by arrogance and slander. They are experts in greed. Their eyes are full of adultery. They also despise authority. And this is a general characteristic of a counterfeit believer. That's what, you know, people don't like to submit. People are not humble. People, no, I'm commanding my life. God will have to wait. I'm doing my own thing. Those are, might be church people that come to church, but they don't really want to surrender. And maybe they have never really understood the size of the love of God. So the true speaker, the true preacher or the true teacher, he will speak from Scripture. And the false teacher, he will speak from his own ideas. There will be a different fruit. A true believer is effective and he is productive in his or her knowledge of Jesus Christ. The counterfeit Christian, he's like a spring without water. They promise much but produce little. Now we have to examine ourselves. Am I a counterfeit Christian? Have I been influenced by counterfeit Christians around me? Have I been influenced by eventually counterfeit preachers? Or am I a Christian that is running against the world, is defending Jesus Christ, is searching for the truth, is humble themselves? And for sure, there is also a different end. The true believer, he will receive, the Bible says. The true believer, you know, this is about the truth. There's no such thing as the different grades of shades of gray. There is whether black or white. The true believer, he will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The false believer is pretty bad here. Will experience swift destruction. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 3. That's why. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16, this is what the Lord of heavens, the heaven's army, says to his people. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They're making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. Do not listen. You know, your source is the Bible. And you might think, well, this is not a Bible, this is an iPad. Actually, I have a couple Bibles in here. So you have a Bible. Doesn't matter what kind of Bible you have, as long as you have a Bible. That is your source. You don't even should trust me at all. Always with an eye open. Yeah, well, let's see. Well, let's check. That's what the people did in the Old Testament, the New Testament. They would check. Well, there were prophecy. There were all kinds of teaching. Well, let's check, see if it really was like that. That's why I'm very much open, you know, and hey, you know, you said something that is pretty crooked. You come and tell me. And I have no problem. I always remember back in Hague. We're in Brazil for that matter too, you know. We were all, once they would speak something, well, I'm going to hear from it. It's going to come back to me. Or even I notice, well, today is the day that I'm going to be fired. But never happened. So we're still, you know, we spent 10 years in Hague. But I knew that certain things would be talked about. And I want that to happen. Talk about it. hey, this is what it is. And if I say something that is not right, you just tell me. You come and talk to me. We have a deal. I hear an amen. Amen. Oh, good. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. So that's, I'm not saying that you should be just lashing me out all the time. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what the text is saying here. But I and whoever is going to be preaching on this pulpit or teaching in any small group or whatever it is, I should not be expecting, oh, you did great. You did wonderful. This was a powerful message. And all of a sudden you start speaking just for the sake of hearing that more and more. And that should not be happening to me and to anyone that's a leader in this church. We want to hear the truth. And I want to see transformation happening in the hearts of people. And that's what the Lord wants to hear. So may the Lord bless all of us as we walk this wonderful walk of faith together. Let's rub each other's shoulders. Let's talk. Let's discuss. Well, this is something I didn't like. This is what you said. Let's just talk it. Put it in the air. Don't, you know, let's not gossip. Come to the source. Let's talk about it. And then things will be wonderful. And we will understand each other. And guess what? The church will grow. Because I know once you become really excited about the things of God, you will start bringing neighbors in and friends. And you know, this here are more names came in here. A bunch of names here. You got to pray for these people. These are the people that we have put here. These are over 100 names right here. And we want to pray for them. We want to bring these people into the church. And we want them to have a healthy environment. We don't want to kill them in here. When they come here to listen to the word of God, they're supposed to be transformed because it's supposed to be the genuine, the real deal, what church and what Christianity is all about. And people will grow. And guess what? When they see us working and see us making, inviting people, guess what they will do? The same. But if they come here while everybody is gossiping, everybody is doing this, everybody is doing that, guess what they're going to be doing in a month from now, once the time they get here? They will do the same. So I have a responsibility. And all of you do also have a responsibility. And the Lord is gracious. Because he sees our failures. He sees that we fail. He sees that sometimes we make mistakes. And he is okay with that. As long as we repent. As long as we recognize, oh my goodness, I am so really, really sorry for the stupid things I just said. Please forgive me, Lord. And you will be okay. And I will be okay. And this church will be okay. And the people that will come here will be okay. And yes, we are going to transform Markham and Stouffville and Uxbridge and Swan Lake. Oh, Swan Lake is in Markham, right? Okay. Is that the capital of Markham? No? Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? As the group comes up here, is the group coming up here today? Yeah, there they come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word and we are standing on your word and we don't want to do anything other than standing on your word and focusing on you. Now, you probably must be looking at us because maybe we haven't really shown that to you good enough. Maybe we have not really focused too much on you because we are busy with our own things. And Lord, We have to admit here, and I admit, Lord, we don't know what we're doing. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us, Lord, to stand up for what we believe and to serve you, Lord Jesus, with all our hearts. And Lord, you love us and you are gracious with us. You forgive. Your mercy is renewed every morning again and again. No matter how many times we fail, you come, you lift us up, and you forgive. And for that, Lord, we are eternally thankful for. And we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning, for the word, Lord, that you have given us, that we would take it to heart, and that we would be serious about you, Lord. And about the things you have said. And that you don't want to go anywhere else, Lord. We don't want to have any other source of information other than from or around your word. And from the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so very much.